Today is the 23rd day of January. Sorry, I'm sticking a drink of Wind Farm coffee. I should have finished that before I started. Sorry. Hi, welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. Ready to take the next step forward as the caffeine begins to hit my system. Hope your day is going well. I am grateful. Grateful for another day with you. Grateful for another day of life. Grateful for another step forward in the scriptures. We are moving through the book of Genesis at this point, and we've slowed things way down and really zoomed in on one person named Joseph, who is the great-grandson of Abraham, and who has, well, after being human trafficked into slavery, become second in command of all of Egypt. And his father's name is Jacob, or Israel. And, man, it's been a drama. Israel, or Jacob, has thought Joseph has been dead for so long now, and has grieved and mourned him for so long now, but has just found out he's still alive. Let's continue the journey. Genesis chapters 46 and 47. Later, Israel began his journey, taking along everything that he owned, and arrived at Beersheba, where he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. God spoke to Israel through night visions, addressing him. "Jacob, Jacob." "Here I am," Jacob replied. "I'm God, your father's God. Don't be afraid to move down to Egypt, because I'm going to turn you into a mighty nation there. I'm going down with you to Egypt, and I'm certainly going to bring you back again. And Joseph himself will be with you when you die." So Jacob got up and left Beersheba, and Israel's sons carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives in the transport wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry them. They took their livestock and their household property that they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and traveled to Egypt. Jacob and all of his descendants went with him, including his sons, his grandsons, his daughters, and his granddaughters. Every one of his descendants accompanied him to Egypt. Here's a list of the names of Israel's sons, that is, of Jacob and his sons who moved to Egypt. Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. Reuben's sons, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. Simeon's sons, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, who was the son of a Canaanite woman. Levi's sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And Judah's sons, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. Technically, and Onan had died in the land of Canaan. Perez's sons were Hezron and Hamul. Also included were Issachar's sons Tola, Puva, Job, and Shimron, along with Zebulun's sons Sered, Elon, and Jalil. These were all sons from Leah, whom she bore for Jacob in Paddan Aram, along with his daughter Dinah. He had 33 sons and daughters. Also included were Gad's sons Ziphion, Hagi, Shuni, Ezbon, Iri, Arodi, and Areli. Asher's sons Imnah, Ishba, Ishvi, Beriah, and their sister Sira. Beriah's sons Heber and Malkiel were also included. These were all sons from Zilpah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Leah. She bore these 16 children for Jacob. Jacob's wife, Rachel's sons, were Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph's sons born in the land of Egypt were Manasseh and Ephraim, who Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore for him. Benjamin's sons included Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gira, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. These were all the sons of Rachel who were born for Jacob, 14 in all. Also included were Dan's sons Hushim, Naphtali's sons Jaziel, Guni, Jazer, and Shelem. These were sons of Bilhah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Rachel. She bore these children for Jacob, 7 in all. All of these people who belonged to Jacob's family traveled to Egypt. All of Jacob's direct descendants, not including his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons in all. Joseph had 2 sons born to him in Egypt, and all of Jacob's household who went to Egypt numbered 70. Jacob sent Judah ahead of them to meet with Joseph, who would be guiding them to Goshen, and so they arrived. Joseph prepared his chariot and went to meet his father Israel in Goshen. As soon as Jacob appeared in his presence, he embraced him and wept for a long time as he held on to him. "Now let me die," Israel told Joseph, "since I've seen your face and confirmed that you are still alive." But Joseph addressed his brothers and his father's household and told them, "I'll go up and tell Pharaoh that my brothers and my father's household have arrived from Canaan to be with me. I'll mention that the men are shepherds. Because they've been taking care of livestock, they brought along their flocks, their herds, and everything else they own. When Pharaoh calls for you and asks you, 'What's your occupation?' you are to tell him, 'Your servants have been taking care of livestock since we were youths. We and our ancestors have taken care of livestock.' That way, you'll be able to live in the Goshen territory, since shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians." After this, Joseph went to inform Pharaoh. "My father and brothers have come here from Canaan," he said, "and they've come with their flocks, herds, and everything else they have. I settled them in the Goshen territory." He brought along 5 of his brothers to present before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked his brothers, "What are your occupations?" "Your servants are shepherds," they replied, "both we and our ancestors. We've come to live for a while in this region, since there is no pasture back in Canaan for your servants' flocks. May your servants please live in the Goshen territory?" Then Pharaoh replied to Joseph, "Now that your father and your brothers have come to you, Egypt is at your disposal. So settle your father and brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in the Goshen territory. If you learn that any of them are especially skilled, put them in charge of my livestock." Later, Joseph brought his father Jacob to Pharaoh and introduced him. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. "How old are you?" Pharaoh asked Jacob. "I'm 130 years old," Jacob replied. "My years have turned out to be few and unpleasant, but I haven't yet reached the age my ancestors did during their travels on earth." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and then left the throne room. Joseph settled his father and brothers, assigning them their own land in the best part of Egypt, in the territory of Ramses, just as Pharaoh had ordered. Joseph provided food for his father, his brothers, and all of his father's household, proportionate to the number of young children. Meanwhile, there continued to be no food throughout the land because the famine remained very severe. As a result, both Egypt and Canaan languished under the effects of the famine. So Joseph kept on accumulating all the money that was to be found throughout Egypt and Canaan in exchange for the grain that was being purchased. He stored the money in Pharaoh's palace. After all the money had been spent throughout Egypt and Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and demanded, "Give us food. Why should we die right in front of you? Our money is spent." "You can surrender your livestock," Joseph replied. I'll feed them in exchange, since your money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph traded food in exchange for horses, various flocks and herds, and donkeys. He fed them with food in exchange for their livestock during that year. The following year, they came to him and reminded him, We won't hide from you, Your Excellency, that we've spent all of our money, and that our livestock all belong to you. There's nothing left to trade with you, Your Excellency, except our bodies and our territories. So why should we in our land die right in front of you? Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we in our land will be slaves to Pharaoh. Give us seed so we can survive and not die, and so the land won't stay desolate. So Joseph purchased all of the Egyptian territory for Pharaoh. Every Egyptian sold his field because the famine's effect was so severe. That's how Pharaoh came to own the land. Then Joseph transported the people to cities from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not purchase land belonging to the priests, because the priests held an allotment previously provided to them by Pharaoh from which they lived. That's why they did not sell their land. After this, Joseph addressed the people. Pay attention, he said. I've bought you and your land for Pharaoh today in exchange for seed for you. Now go sow the land. When harvest season arrives, you are to provide a fifth of the harvest to Pharaoh. The remaining four-fifths are to be for your use, for seed, and to feed you, your households, and your little ones. You've saved our lives, they replied. If it pleases you, Your Excellency, we'll be Pharaoh's slaves. So Joseph crafted a statute concerning Egypt that remains valid to this day, that Pharaoh should own a fifth of the produce, excluding the land belonging to the priests, which remained outside of Pharaoh's control. Israel remained in Egypt's Goshen territory, acquired land there, became prosperous, and his descendants grew very numerous. He lived for 17 more years in Egypt, until he was 147 years old. As the time approached for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and addressed him. Please, he asked, if you're happy with me, make a solemn promise that you'll treat me fairly and kindly by not burying me in Egypt. Instead, when I've died, as my ancestors have, you are to carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their tomb. I'll do whatever you've asked, Joseph replied. Promise me, Israel insisted. So Joseph promised. Then Israel collapsed on his bed. Matthew 15, 1-28. Then some Pharisees and scribes came from Jerusalem to Jesus and asked, Why do your disciples disregard the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands when they eat. But he answered them, Why do you also disregard the commandment of God because of your tradition? Because God said, You are to honor your father and your mother, and whoever curses father or mother must certainly be put to death. But you say, Whoever tells his father or his mother, Whatever support you might have received from me has been given to God, does not have to honor his father. Because of your tradition, then, you have disregarded the authority of God's word. You hypocrites! How well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is empty, because they teach human rules as doctrines. Then calling out to the crowd, he addressed them. Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that makes a person unclean. It is what comes out of the mouth that makes a person unclean. Then the disciples came and asked him, Do you realize that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? He replied, Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If one blind person leads another blind person, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter told him, Explain to us this parable. Jesus said, Are you still so ignorant? Don't you know that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and then is expelled as waste? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and it is those things that make a person unclean. It is out of the heart that evil thoughts come, as well as murder, adultery, sexual immorality, stealing, false testimony, and slander. These are the things that make a person unclean. But eating with unwashed hands doesn't make a person unclean. Then Jesus left that place and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Suddenly, a Canaanite woman from that territory came near and began to shout, Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he didn't answer her at all. Then his disciples came up and kept urging him, Send her away because she keeps on screaming as she follows us. But he replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the nation of Israel. Then she came and fell down before him, saying, Lord, help me. He replied, It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the puppies. She said, Yes, Lord, but even the puppies eat the crumbs that fall from their master's tables. Then Jesus answered her, Lady, your faith is great. What you want is granted. That very hour, her daughter was healed. Psalm 19. To the director, a Davidic psalm, God's revelation in the heavens. The heavens are declaring the glory of God, and their expanse shows the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their message goes out into all the world, and their words to the ends of the earth. He has set up a tent for the sun in the heavens, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, or like a champion who rejoices at the beginning of a race. Its circuit is from one end of the sky to the other, and nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring life. The testimony of the Lord is steadfast, making foolish people wise. The precepts of the Lord are upright, making the heart rejoice. The commandment of the Lord is pure, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, standing forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, even much fine gold. They are sweeter than honey, even the drippings from a honeycomb. Moreover, your servant is warned by them, and there is great reward in keeping them. Who can detect his own mistake? Cleanse me from hidden sin, preserve your servant from arrogant people. Do not let them rule over me. Then I will be upright and acquitted of great wickedness. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Proverbs 4:14-19. Do not enter the path of the wicked or go along the way of evil men. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on by. For they cannot sleep unless they are doing evil, and they are robbed of their sleep unless they cause someone to stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that grows brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they do not know what they are stumbling over. Okay, so we got all the different pieces of the Joseph story all on the table now. Everything came together in today's reading from Genesis. The brothers went back to their father Jacob with this unthinkable, miraculous news that Joseph wasn't dead. He was still alive, and he was second in command of the entire kingdom of Egypt. Only Pharaoh was above him. And obviously, Jacob's not so sure about all this, but he comes to believe it, and his family begins this long journey to Egypt. God came to Jacob in Beersheba, where he had appeared to Abraham and Isaac, reiterating this promise that he'd given to the patriarchs. I am God, the God of your father. Don't be afraid to go to Egypt. I will make you into a great nation. And so once they did arrive in Egypt, Jacob was reunited with Joseph. What a beautiful... I mean, wow. It's like resurrection. It's that thread of resurrection that weaves through the Bible. Joseph had returned from the dead. Father and son embraced each other through these tears of joy. And then Jacob's like, I'm ready to die now. I've seen it's true. I've seen your face. You're still alive. So this is how the children of Israel came to be in the land of Egypt. And that becomes really, really important as this story goes forward. It'll be 400 years before they leave Egypt. And then as we have moved forward in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is clarifying some things. He's being challenged about tradition, and he's pushing back, saying tradition is usurping or overpowering the actual command of God. And these are the elite scholars coming from Jerusalem to question Jesus. And so Jesus explains, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Because what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. And all evil things that come out of your mouth are coming from there. That is what defiles you. If you eat without your hands washed, well, that might not be sanitary, but that will not defile you spiritually. It's not what goes into your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth. Could we put that one in our back pocket? Could that one be something we hold on to here as a tool, as something that we need in our toolbox. Something we should probably recite until it's just locked in our brain. It's not what goes into your mouth. It is what comes out of your mouth that defiles. Because that's an important spiritual reality. Life is not outside in. And that is so much of Jesus' teaching. Life is not outside in. You cannot rearrange the outside and then all of a sudden become whole on the inside. Life is from the inside out. We can spend our whole lives trying to surround ourselves with comfort and luxury, telling ourselves if we could just reach this set of circumstances, then we will be filled from within. But nothing from the outside fills the void. Only in beginning to understand that it's the other way around, that life flows from within us, from our hearts. And if those are clean, if we are pure there, then everything on the outside will be pure as well. This is the way life works. This is how it is intended. Our hearts must belong to God. And when we know and walk with God intimately, then the source of life itself is within us. And that, invariably as a byproduct, spills out into ordering our exterior world. This is a big one. May we remember it. And Holy Spirit, come. Plant it deep within the soil of our hearts, in the good soil, and may it come up and be a flourishing truth, a flourishing tool, a constant reminder of how life is to be oriented, because we have lived backwards for most of our days, and our world lives backwards to this truth. And so, transform us. Open our eyes and our ears that we may see and hear. It is from within that life flows. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. This is home base. This is where to get connected and stay connected. One's in the App Store, one's on the web. And we are so getting close now to brand new home, brand new app, brand new everything. So looking forward to that. It's been such a long time coming. So difficult. A process, multi-year process. And so we're getting close. So make sure you have the app and you'll be able to update to the new one. Well, we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking it up soon. But we're getting close. So be connected. Stay connected. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey that we are on. Check out the community section and get connected and stay connected in any way that you can. From the prayer wall all the way to different social media platforms that we're on. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, that is why we are here and how we are here and how we have been here 7 days a week, every day for, over 20 years now. We have been in this together, and so thank you humbly, deeply, gratefully for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner with a mailing address. It's P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is all for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. This is Aspiring Beautiful Faith in Indiana, and I would like to share a God story that I hope will encourage you. I am 53 years old and never been married, but always had a yearning in my heart for marriage. God did the most incredible thing in my life over the past 9 months. He used a conversation that I had with an 85-year-old man over 11 years ago at a conference where I shared my desire to be married to orchestrate circumstances that led to me meeting my future husband this past July. You see, that older man and his wife prayed for me for many years before he died and went to be with Jesus. But last April, I saw his 95-year-old widow at a different conference, and we had a short 5-minute conversation. Another couple overheard us talking, and the Lord put it on their hearts that I could be a good match for a guy they knew. So, 2 months later, Charles reached out to me, and a month later, we met in person. 3 months after that, we got engaged and are now getting married this July. I share this story for several reasons. First, never underestimate what God can do. He is the God of the impossible, and don't ever stop praying or believing. And second, if God asks you to do something, be obedient. If I would not have shared with the 85-year-old man about my longing for marriage over 11 years ago, this chain of events would have never happened. Psalm 37:4 is a verse that I have clung to for many years. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I sincerely hope this encourages someone out there who has been waiting on God to fulfill your longing to be married, to have a child, or to fill in the blank. I prayed for over 30 years, and God finally answered. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. May we worship and adore Him.
Hey, DAB, it's Refined by the Fire in Ohio. Wanted to thank everybody who prayed for my dad and his dementia and his passing, and just appreciate each one of you in this community. And I did just want to try to reassure anybody who has a family member or a loved one dealing with dementia and the awful journey that it can feel like. Don't skip the hard things. Don't skip showing up. Don't skip spending time. Don't skip singing songs. Just don't skip the hard stuff. There is joy to be found underneath that layer, and it is a joy that nothing and nobody can take away from you once it's all over. And knowing that my dad is with Jesus and he is whole and he is free from being locked inside his own mind, and in my case, knowing that he has his voice back, because towards the end, he really wasn't able to talk to us at all. So just know there is joy to be found in the moments and the journey alongside your loved one. And while I wouldn't wish it on anybody, there are a lot of lessons that I know the God couldn't have taught me any other way. So, praying with you guys always. Love you so much. Checking in soon.
Lord, we pray for Janice in New Zealand. Lord, she needs to hear from you. She needs a sure word from you, Lord. She doesn't know whether or not she should take chemo, and this is a very difficult decision. She needs to hear your voice. We ask that you direct her steps, that you direct her thoughts, that you give her help in making this decision. by advice from people, but mostly she just needs to hear from you, Lord. And she needs to be assured and have a firm feeling in her gut and in her heart that the decision she makes is being directed by you. Please, Lord, we're asking you to be very specific and help her make this decision. She wants to cast all her care on you, and she wants to trust you, but she wants to hear from you, Lord. So we're asking you right now to speak to Janice, direct her, lead her in the way she's supposed to go, and give her assurance, Lord. Give her assurance that you are with her and that you're directing her. In Jesus' name.
Hey, Deb family. This is Skylar from Florida. I'm asking for prayers for my wife. She has small cell carcinoma and has been given days to a few weeks to live. It wasn't found in time and she couldn't stand the chemo. She's too weak. Please lift her up and pray that the Father's will would be done. But I'm believing in a miracle, the great healer, the great physician. Please keep us in your prayers. This has been a hard time, but I have a good church and a good church family to support me, but every prayer is precious to me and my wife. I love you all. You all be blessed, and I will keep you all in my prayers. Thank you, brothers and sisters, and Brian, thank you for many, many years of great Bible. You have been an inspiration and have led me so far and taught me so much about our God and our Savior. Be blessed.
Hi, Deb family. This is Jessica in California, and I was listening to the prayer and encouragement, and I have been hearing a gal call in. I didn't catch her name, but she's calling in for her friend Brittany that has twins inside of her and that had to go to the hospital and have a procedure. And so I just want to come alongside you and pray for Brittany and the twins. And Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that you're in this just by the fact that this friend of Brittany's has come alongside and is so encouraging and lifting her up and giving her hope and hope in you, Jesus. And she's in anticipation of a good report. And that just touched my heart. I just want you to know that just touched my heart so much, how much you're rooting for her and her twins. And I just thank you, Lord, for this woman. And I thank you that that you're watching over Brittany and her twins, and that there will be a good report in Jesus' mighty name. And anyway, I love you, Deb family. And be encouraged. Jesus is King. Amen.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Running Desperately to Jesus, also known as Staying Desperately Connected to Jesus. Right now, it is almost 9 o'clock in Denver, Colorado. I've been up since 4 o'clock and just not understanding why I cannot be a mother to my 38-year-old son. Instead of being an advisor, recommending, suggesting, being nosy. He served in the military. He was a truck driver before he lost his job. He is now trying to take care of a family of three without a job. And he's trying to test to become a firefighter. And instead of me just being a mother and listening to him and letting God guide my conversation, my words, I take it upon myself to do that. And I feel that I am the one that at times have been one to cause a strain in our relationship. So I'm just asking that my family pray that I learn how to be a mother and not be someone that gives advice that is often not needed and pushes him away. I love my son a lot. I know he can do what he needs to do. And when I do that, it seems like I'm not trusting him. Pray for me, Running Desperately to Jesus, also known as Staying Desperately Connected to Jesus.